Well, a good morning to you, and welcome back to the God School. First thing I want to say today is there's almost 900 messages available at thegodschool.com. We have been speaking, this is a faith ministry, and we've been speaking about faith from God's Word. We've been speaking about the faith of Jesus Christ, which makes available to the one who is faithing even the righteousness of God. We have attempted for these more than 17 years to show off God, because God has, through my pastor and teacher and God's Word, been shown to me. I have a collection of messages from my pastor, who died 20 years ago, and I'm thankful for it. As I was looking through some of his printed sermons, I came across this, and I thought it's important. It would be important. It is important that men and women of faith, children of God, might, through this message, have their faith increased, have their confidence grow, and not be deterred by circumstance or even a little doubt. Now, this is a summation of about 6 weeks that Dr. Scott was teaching out of the book of Judges, chapter 6 through 8, on that hero of faith mentioned in Hebrews 11, Gideon. I recommend strongly that you open your Bibles and you read, not as this message is being delivered, but listen to the message and go back and read the recorded history of Gideon and his faith and the humanness of doubt. So this was a message that was delivered 40 years ago. So I'm going to read today. Not something I normally do, but I'm just think the message is important. And he opens and says, I have a short message today, but en route, we will do some review and learn some new things. And there came an angel of the Lord and sat under an oak, which was an Oprah. Isn't that interesting? Most people don't normally think of angels as acting in such an ordinary manner, but this angel simply sat down under a tree. There was no shining lights or bolts of lightning. The angel just did what any sensible person would do on a hot day. He sat down in the shade of a tree. If we've not learned anything else about Gideon, at least one lesson should be clear by now. God meets us right where we are. Another thing I hope that we have learned is this, is that ordinary people can accomplish things for God. You don't have to be super spiritual to relate to God. The ordinariness of this story is what makes it speak to us. The Midianites had oppressed Israel for 7 years. The Midianites represent anything that comes against God's people and defies his promises. Thus, they represent anything or anyone that oppresses you, takes from you, or holds you down until you feel you cannot move on to what God has promised you. To most people, a Midianite is a Midianite. But we, as Christians, understand what the Midianites represent. Gideon was a coward. Anyone who says they've never been afraid is either a fool or a liar, for everyone under pressure has known fear. Thank God, fear doesn't separate us from the helping hand of God. The Lord sent an angel who said, "The Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor." But Gideon wasn't a mighty man of valor. He was threshing wheat in a wine press, hiding from the Midianites, which proves he wasn't a mighty man of valor. Rather, the one who was with him was the mighty one of valor, God. Gideon spewed forth the languages of doubt. "Oh, my Lord, if, why, when, where be, forsaken." If you think you've been delivered from this tendency, give it some time and you'll think differently. The Lord looked on him and said, "Go in this thy might. I have sent thee." The commission is the guarantee. The calling is the guarantee. This is the principle that runs throughout the Bible. Whom the Lord calls, he enables. Psalm 37 says, "The steps of a good man are ordered of the Lord." And the New Testament, God has guaranteed you will not be tempted beyond what you are able to bear. The simple knowledge that you have hung your body on God's word is the guarantee you will make it through. Gideon was still not convinced by what he was told. So he replied, "Oh, my Lord, wherewith?" And the Lord assured him a third time, saying, "Surely I will be with thee." We have the same promises today. The Lord is with us and he has commissioned us. We need to settle the matter. Can we stop using the vocabulary of doubt and stop the questioning and make our peace with God? At some point, will you bite the bullet or walk the plank or however you want to say it and finally decide, "I will stop arguing with God's word. I will hang my body on what he has said instead of on what I see." That's the beginning of the life of faith. The middle of the life of faith and the ending of the life of faith. I want to read that again. Finally decide, "I'll stop arguing with God's word. I will hang my body on what he has said instead of what I see." This is the beginning of the life of faith, the middle of the life of faith, and the ending of the life of faith. What makes any of us think we are going to graduate? We know that Gideon had a victory when he made his peace with God and took his first obedient steps of faith. Whenever we win an intermediate victory, it's natural to want to indulge in some feeling of joy. I tried to celebrate a victory this past week, but I couldn't even enjoy it because I had to fend off an onslaught of Midianites. I cried, "Lord, can't we ever have a victory without something tarnishing it?" And the Lord said to me, "Not a damn thing." He was still silent even after the victory. Considering all we've done for God, don't you think he ought to speak to us even a little? After all, no one has shown off God's greatness more than we have. And I'm going to add amen to that. The most brilliant Bible teacher, I think, in the history of the Christian church. But we continue. He could have at least said something like, "Thank you, son. Did he say anything to you? He isn't speaking to anyone. I'm reminded of the story of Balaam in the book of Numbers. It is significant that God spoke to an ass before he spoke to Balaam." After every victory is when the problems come. Sometimes we get giddy like Elijah. He had just come from his victory on Mount Carmel. He probably felt like he had won the final victory and that the devil was forever confined to the bottomless pit. But he was so devastated by the threats of one evil woman that he ran until he could run no more. Then he sat down under a juniper tree and asked the Lord to take his life. That's why I'm preaching on Gideon again. I don't believe that any one of us has been delivered yet. I said I had a simple message. You already know it, but I'm sure you have forgotten it. If you're like me, we ask, why has all this befallen us? Because we are resisting Satan. That's why. Every time God got Gideon to move past his doubts and to act in faith, Gideon won. After Gideon made his peace, God said, "Now go do this." Gideon did it by night because he was afraid, but he still did it. And when he did it, his father stood up for him. The message is, we must keep pressing on. Maybe you're sitting down to rest, comfortable in your circumstances. It would be far better if those circumstances exploded. For your own salvation, thank God for our ongoing battles, or we might not finish our course. Gideon acted in faith and cut down the groves. And when he did, his father stood up for him. Gideon was on a roll. God was with him, and he was delivered. Then all the Midianites and the Amalekites and the children of the east were gathered together and went over and pitched in the valley of Jezreel. But the Spirit of the Lord came upon Gideon, and he blew a trumpet, and Abiezer gathered after him. He sent his messengers throughout all of Manasseh, who also gathered after him. And he sent messengers to Asher and unto Zebulun and unto Naphtali, and they came to meet them. Gideon now had an army, and the Spirit of the Lord was upon him. I could understand Gideon's vocabulary of doubt earlier, but now the Spirit of the Lord was upon him. Or, as we have translated this passage, the Spirit of the Lord clothed himself with Gideon. If we listen to revival preachers, we might think that Gideon should be unstoppable now. After all, he was full of the Holy Spirit. He should go on to victory after victory. Some preachers think that all we need is a rousing, emotional sermon on the power of the Spirit. The Spirit would so fill the church that all doubt would vanish and we could go on to win nations for God. We would never need another message on, "Oh my Lord," if we would no longer have to preach about our weaknesses. Isn't that what the Spirit of the Lord should do? And Gideon said unto God, "Let's go get these Midianites." Is that what he said? No, that's not what he said. And Gideon said unto God, "If." Isn't that what the Bible says? "If thou wilt save Israel by mine hand, as thou hast said, behold, I will put a fleece of wool in the floor. And if the dew be on the fleece only, and it be dry upon all the earth beside, then shall I know that thou wilt save Israel by my hand, as thou hast said." In other words, Gideon was telling God, "It isn't enough for you to have said it, Lord. I need to see another sign from you, and then I'll believe that you will deliver what you said you would do. This kind of sickness is hard to cure. Even spirit-filled people suffer from it. I want to encourage you with this thought. Just because you suffer from this nature doesn't mean you're not spirit-filled. It should comfort you to know that you can be spirit-filled and still have doubts, anxieties, and a questioning mind. Why, how, and from whom do you receive the Spirit? The Spirit is a gift from God for your faith. If you're acting in faith, God gives his Spirit to you. But it is nice to know that while faith overcomes the ifs, the existence of ifs doesn't mean you have no faith. I don't agree with the notion that Christianity is an either-or proposition. I don't agree with preachers who make everything black and white. Christianity is a struggle. It's a fight. It's a fight of faith. Faith is 90% courage. It is marvelous to know that you can have the Spirit and entertain a few ifs at the same time. I'm encouraged to know that you can have doubts coexisting with faith. The issue is, which one will win? It is possible to come to a point of certitude where you can declare, those ifs had better look out. I will trust in the Lord. Look at this fool Gideon telling God, I'm not too sure you know what you're talking about, but if you will, make this fleece wet and keep the ground dry. Then I'll believe you will do what you said you would do. The Bible says, and it was so. For Gideon rose up early the next morning and squeezed the fleece together and wrung out dew out of the fleece and a whole bowl of water, and the ground beside it was dry. Isn't God good? And Gideon said, thank you, Lord, for permitting me that one sign. That's all I needed. I apologize for ever having questioned you, and I'm completely satisfied. Now let's go get those Midianites. No, it's not what he said. Gideon thought there was a chance that God might have been confused. He might have swapped wet for dry or the fleece for the ground. It would have been easy to make a mistake for God to have made. So Gideon said, let not thy anger be hot against me. I will speak but this once. Let me prove, I pray thee, but this once with the fleece. Let it now be dry only upon the fleece, and upon all the ground let there be dew. In other words, please, God, don't get mad at me. This time let's reverse the test. Make the ground wet and the fleece dry. And God said, I've had it with you, fool. No, God didn't say that. Isn't that wonderful? If we didn't deserve a God like this, most of us would have been eliminated a long time ago. Let me read that again. If we didn't serve a God like this, most of us would have been eliminated a long time ago. God, in his kindness, did the very thing Gideon asked for. We read, and God did so that night, and it was dry upon the fleece only, and there was no dew on the ground. With a God like that, I believe that if we keep trying, we are going to make it. I said my message was simple. You will never get so good in this life that you will be completely cured of doubt. But if you will not give in to the ifs, and if you will keep stomping on them with faith, you will make it all the way home. Praise His name. Now that was Dr. Scott's message 40 years ago. It was Paul's message 2,000 years ago. It's the message of the God School today. We live by faith, not by sight. It's a short message today, but I hope through God that it has encouraged faith over your doubts. And that's the God School for today.